Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, July the 29th, 2021. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And we thank former Governor Ted Strickland for being on in hour number one. There certainly is no lack of things going on in the state of Ohio, to be sure. What an interesting situation we've all got ourselves into here that will go on and on and on. What else is there to do at this particular point? We're going to turn our attention this morning to the ongoing pandemic, which continues here in the world at this point, United States, Ohio, all over the place. We learned recently that in Marion County, where we all live, the cases of COVID had tripled in the last two weeks. To figure out what all this means, we turn to the Marion County Health Department and Tyler Pigman. Tyler, how are you?
Scott, very good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to speak with you this morning. Tyler, let people know who don't know what your position is with the Health Department.
I am the Director of Environmental Health over here at the health department. I know Scott was probably hoping to get the health commissioner. Unfortunately, right now, since we did receive COVID funds this year, we actually have a state audit. So we have the state here auditing everything, going through everything pretty thoroughly because we have the COVID funds. So, you know, no black mark against us, but just our annual audit, so she's busy. And our nursing director, as you said, you know, we've had rapidly growing COVID case counts, so she's working on that downstairs. So I'm sorry for the listeners, you guys have me. I'm the Director of Environmental Health. Well, my position is we're the body of the health department, of the regulatory body. So we're out doing the food inspections in town, the pool inspections, inspecting the campgrounds. We inspect schools. If you have a septic tank or a well, we're the people that inspect that. And if there's any nuisances in the city or county pertaining to solid waste or housing, we follow up on those as well.
Tyler, you know what? I want to talk a little bit about the food before this is over. But as far as numbers go, when we heard this this week that in Marion County the numbers have tripled in the last 2 weeks, statistic-wise, what does that mean? What are the numbers?
Glad you asked me that. I am not the epi. I'm not a statistician, but I asked them before I gave you a ring. In the last 2 weeks, we've had 55 cases. Now, to give you a little history lesson here, the 3 to 4 weeks and more prior, we were averaging about 10 cases over a two-week period, all right? Well, within the last 2 weeks, we're now averaging 51 cases. And just in the last day, we've had 8 cases. So, obviously, looking at the data, looking at the numbers, they are increasing.
When was the last time, do you know, that we had a day when there was 8 cases? That seems like a lot in one day at this point.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not the epi, I'm not the stat person. I wouldn't be able to tell you that specifically, but anecdotally, it's been a while, Scott. When we get cases like that, you know, we're discussing amongst the leadership, okay, what's going on? Is there a common thread? That you're absolutely right. This is a big bump for one day.
Now, going back to when things were awful in December and January, and then the vaccine came, and we had February, March, and April. What were the cases like in comparison? We've had 55 cases in the last 2 weeks. What were they in February, March, April? What were they averaging then?
Like I said, I'm not the numbers person. I couldn't give you that. But obviously, as more people are being vaccinated, numbers were going down. I know anecdotally that was happening, but for the raw data, the raw numbers, I'd have to get with the epi. for that, or the nursing director.
For these 55 people, do we know, are these vaccinated people? Because that's becoming a big question.
There are some. I asked the same question myself. They couldn't give me the exact number. They're still crunching it. You know, we follow up on these cases. I'm sure you know that, Scott. We've been on, Tracy's been on talking about that. So that's part of our process, is to find that out. When I asked that question this morning, they said, yes, there's some, but they couldn't give me a round number because they're still going through it.
Now, do we know variant-wise, by the tests that are given now, do we know if this is this Delta variation, or do we know if it's the COVID that we've had for a while?
That's an excellent question. I had staff people asking me that this morning, Scott. Right now, if we're speaking technical, absolutely positive, technically, there has not been a diagnosed Delta variant case in Marion. However, let's look at what's behind that. To get a Delta variant sample, you know, that has to be sent off to the state, and what I've learned, you have to have a lot of sputum. So we're talking a lot of snot. You have to have a good mucus sample to be able to send that, so then they can get the variant out of that sample itself. But to be perfectly honest with you, you're well aware, we have calls weekly with the state of Ohio around the 1st of July, the week before the 1st of July, Delta was about 2% of cases. Now, we're about 80-some percent of cases of the Delta variant. So it's a very safe assumption the variant's here, and it's a safe assumption that's why the cases are going up.
A big question here also is, do we know of these 55 people, are any hospitalized, a good majority, or are most people at home?
I don't. That's a really good question. I do not know that answer. I'd be curious of that myself.
Well, one of the big questions is, because when you say, and this I think frightens a lot of people, when you say that people with the vaccine are getting this in Marion County, you know, we hear that on national television and we kind of go, oh, okay. But when you hear it's happening here in Marion and that numbers are on the rise, you wonder how sick these vaccinated people are.
Yeah. I think when you look at the data, you know, we haven't had I don't know the hospitalization rate, because that's what I would like to know within the hospitalizations, how many have had the vaccine, and within how many have had the vaccine, what's the symptoms, how symptomatic. I know you go on the state database, look at all that information and whatnot. I don't have that in front of me, but I think that's key. The safe thing we've seen throughout the nation, and through the research as we're getting it, through the data as we're getting it, if you get the vaccine and you get COVID, what they're saying is I don't want to say you're not going to die, but it's like the percentage is, you know, so in, teeny tiny, it's hard to even put that down. So that's why we get the vaccine. I don't want to die. I got a kid. I'm not looking to do that. And I'm curious right now, not only in Marion, but in Ohio and the country, what's the hospitalization rate of people that got the vaccine and got COVID? It's got to be frustrating to the media. It's like, because all this information is in real time. This virus was new. It's only been here a year. You know, as we get data, we're reporting it. But to make, you know, assumptions, do specific studies, everything's in real time. You know, for normal prescription drugs, you have to go through all this amount of time, or you want seasonal flu numbers, you have the whole last season to look at. Well, with this virus, it's real time, you know? And I'm frustrated. I can't imagine the people that want to put out this information, put out the truth. They got to be frustrated as well.
Well, in this particular case, honestly, in most news stories, you do get frustrated. In this one, I think there's just been so much misinformation. You want to tell people something about Marion County. I think that, you know, it's not so much a scandal. It's more of, let's stay healthy.
Oh, man, Scott, you're making me smile, man. I'm telling you, to have a trusted media source, I go on Facebook, you see the craziest things, craziest videos. Anybody can make a YouTube video nowadays. You know, my 7-year-old niece can make a YouTube video and to talk about how bad the virus is with no knowledge at all. So that's where, as an agency like mine, you know, we need the true news media to put out the truth, to put out the numbers.
Well, and one thing we learned, and I think the newspaper is doing a great job. A matter of fact, that's how I became aware for the most part of this tripling of cases. But, you know, I've talked to the newspaper, and they say most people only read the headlines. And if the headline is a tripling of COVID cases in the last 2 weeks in Marion County, they're not, we need to know how many cases that is.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We need people to click on that article. I get it. I'm going home. I'm scrolling. I'm looking at news sites. You know, I need to get a headline to click on it, to take valuable time out of my day to read an article. You know, you need that headline. But when people see that tripling, they do need to click, see what's going on. I agree with you 100%.
Tyler, a big question also here. Where is the vaccination rate in Marion? Speaking of the vaccination.
That, I know you can get on the Ohio Department of Health website. And I believe we've been right around 40% for quite some time. Yeah, plus or minus just a tiny bit. You know, while I'm speaking to you, I'm going to try to look that up on the Ohio Department of Health website. You know, obviously, Scott, you're well aware vaccinations have slowed down. We would definitely like to see more and more. We're out at the fair. I don't know if you were at the fair this year, Scott. We had a great location on the Midway. So props to the fair board and whatnot for helping us out with that. We got some vaccinations. I think I want to say it was like 32 or 36. But good for them to come out. We were there. Get it. It's, you know, we're trying to be as accessible as possible right now, Scott. That's really what we're trying to do. I think people kind of, you know, when the president, it's that door-to-door, people bastardize that into something that it's not. But, like, if you're truly homebound, give us a call. If you can't leave your house, give us a call. We can come to you and get it done. You know, we just want to help people. I'm sick of this virus. I want this over with, Scott. Get the vaccine so I can go back to going places, going outside. Goodness gracious. Well, I don't know if you can tell. I'm pretty exasperated by the whole thing.
Well, and here we are, I believe, just about to head into 8 months into being able to get the vaccination, and Marion County's at plus or minus 40%. Why is that? What are people saying?
You tell me. You're a voice of the people, Scott. You let me know, and we'll try to, market to that. I don't know. What do you think? We're trying to do anything and everything we can. Well, what are you hearing?
Well, people are worried. People feel that it will make them sick. People feel it's not going to help them anyway. Some people feel who had COVID that they've got immunity because of that. And I think when we hear, even though we have to have the facts, I think when people hear that you can still get COVID with the vaccination, they say, well, what's the use of that?
Well, the use is there's an extremely high chance you won't die. That's one thing if you get COVID with it. And that's the thing with this with all viruses. Anybody with a basic knowledge of any type of illness or sickness, the flu changes every year. This thing's going to change as well. But, you know, when we have the dominant variant, when we have the alpha variant, you know, this vaccine knocked it on its butt. So as many people as possible, if they got the vaccine the last 6 months, well, this was a dominant variant in 7 months, you know, we would be seeing a lot less cases. Because if you're not vaccinated, you have a great, I don't know, better word to call it, like you have a great soup for this virus. This virus is going to change in you. It loves a body that's not inoculated. It can change. It can do what it wants in you.
When all the mandates came up in early June, for the most part, Was that a good idea, knowing where we are now, that cases are tripling, that cases in the state are going up, knowing we're not at 50% in the state vaccination rate-wise, Vax-a-Million did not seem to get us up over 50%. In Marion, we're not even close to half. We've still got 10 more percent to go. Was this the right time to do away with the 6 feet apart and the masks?
Well, I guess, you know, you're asking a regulator that question, Scott. So, it's definitely, you know, the politicians did what they did in regards to any type of mandates, whether, you know, it's allowed to put out there. You know, if you ask me personally, you know, no. But just because some politician in Columbus says something doesn't mean I have to follow that when in regards to my health. I'm still staying away from people. I'm still wearing a mask when I go to the grocery store. You know, that's not against the law. That's being extra cautious. And if me being extra cautious makes me look silly, or 99 people out of 100 at the grocery store are not wearing it, I am, you know, go pound sand. I have a daughter who's not vaccinated. She's not at the age level yet. It's frustrating for me. So I'm doing what I can. Believe me, I'm going to work on this for 16 months going on now, Scott. I want a half-decent vacation. I want to see the beach. I want to do what other people are doing. But I have an unvaccinated person in my house. I got to protect them. It's not about me. Yeah, I can do whatever I want vaccinated. Yeah, whatever. I'm not that selfish. I have somebody I have to look out for. And I got to believe the vast majority of Ohioans are in the same situation, whether it be a parent or a child.
Mm. Okay, the mask thing has been going on for a while now. Now, does it help? Because we're still having this argument all over the place.
It's not an argument. If I'm talking to you, Scott, with about 1, 2, 3 feet away, if I'm talking to you, do you want my spit in your mouth?
No, I think I saw you.
Yeah, I spit when I talk. So, virus or not, I don't want people spit in my mouth. I'm sorry. Does that make me a neat freak or something? Like, look at that on the most basic level. Virus or not, what's inside you, I don't want inside me.
But you know,
Tyler,
like
you, Scott, but a mask is a barrier.
Well, see, but
so, for people to say, oh, the mask does nothing, you kidding me? That's going to soak up so whatever spit's coming out of your mouth into mine. At the very basic level, that's going to help, obviously, something.
But people to this day, and you know it, they will say it does nothing. I don't want to wear it. Why would this prevent anything? They still say this.
Well, like I just said, it prevents it on the most, you know, I don't want to get into the, you know, we could have an hour-long discussion here, Sky, about N95s, KN95s, medical masks, cloth mask, and whatnot, and the different studies that have been done and all that, you know, but that's a boring talk argument to get into. You know, I want to meet people on the most basic level, on a kindergarten level. When I argue with my niece, I want her to understand it. So, like I said, if there's some barrier between me and you, something's going to get caught in that barrier, whether it be a cloth or something better than that, whether it be a medical mask. You know, why have doctors and physicians and people that use, you know, surgeons, why have they been wearing a mask for forever and a day? For at least as long as I've been alive. Why do they wear that when you go in there? Pre-vaccine. Obviously, that stops something from going into them.
Well, you know, some people say, it's weird you bring that up, because we had a guest on the show yesterday who we talked to this about, and they said the reason surgeons wear masks is so they don't drool into the open cavity of the body.
So, let me flip that argument on them. Why do they not want that drool in the body? Because there's bacteria in our mouth. There can be different type of pathogens in our mouth. So if that drool gets in that body of that person doing surgery, they can be infected, can't they? So that person's argument just got flipped on them.
Well, and another thing here, Tyler, because this is interesting. This came on Tuesday, and I'm going to read it because I want to get it right. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended on Tuesday that localities encourage all teachers, staff, students, and visitors to schools to wear masks indoors regardless of vaccination status. In areas with substantial and high transmission, CDC recommends fully vaccinated people wear masks in public indoor settings to help prevent the spread of the Delta variant and protect others. This includes school. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told a media briefing on Tuesday. CDC recommends that everyone in K through 12 schools wear a mask indoors, including teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status. Children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with proper prevention strategies in place, she said. Finally, CDC recommends community leaders encourage vaccination and universal masking to prevent further outbreaks in areas of substantial and high transmission with the Delta variants. More Americans now, this is urgent to more Americans now than ever. Now, Tyler, this is an interesting thing because the governor has said we're not making any more mandates. The CDC, with about 2 weeks left before the start of school here in Marion County, and also with a tripling of cases in the last 2 weeks, says that localities should encourage teachers, staff, and students, and all visitors in schools to wear masks all the time. That's the CDC. We had Dr. Arusi on from Marion City Schools yesterday and read that to him, and he said at this point they're not going to go that way. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I know this is a contentious issue, but I've kind of already spilled my beans earlier. I never stopped wearing the mask. I will tell you, with the Delta variant, what we discussed earlier, there are people with vaccinations still getting it. So we recently did a department-wide thing where we're wearing masks in our offices again. If you're going to see somebody, you're wearing a mask just because this is transmissible. Now, in regards to schools, also what I said earlier, the politicians did what they did. No more mandates and whatnot. So everything's a recommendation. But they're best recommendations. Like, it's a recommendation to see the dentist at least once a year. Not everybody sees the dentist once a year, but if you want good, healthy, strong teeth, you'll do it. So, same with this mask thing. You know, and there are still kids, what is it, 5 to 11, I think, who can't get the vaccine right now, and that's prime school age. So, not wearing a mask, you know, it's going to be easy transmission, obviously, in that range.
Well, I guess, Tyler,
as the health department, I'll tell you our position, follow the recommendations. The recommendations that came down from the Ohio Department of Health. So, and there were school recommendations, and they talked about the mask wearing that you just mentioned. Recommendations for, you know, enhanced cleaning and whatnot. So if a school asks me, you know, what do you recommend, I'll point them to that document, those recommendations. Am I coming in, knocking down walls if they're not doing it? No. They're just recommendations now.
Well, this is the interesting thing, Tyler, because when a school says, and these are hard choices, because I'm sure Dr. Arusi is facing incoming as well as other superintendents as well, but all last year, when the health department recommended something, it pretty well was done. Now, we were under a mandate in the state, but now when the health department recommends it, I guess we're not going to do it. What do you think has happened?
You know, that's a great question for Dr. Arusi and the people that aren't going to follow the recommendations. But believe me, I'll be listening to your next radio broadcast if you ask that question. I don't know. I'm curious myself.
Well, I think when I asked him pretty much that question, he said, because it's not mandated. And when it's not they can wear masks if they like, but when something's not mandated, I guess the people feel that a recommendation is not a mandate.
Yeah, well, and, you know, per the definition, you know, I deal with the laws and codes in all of our programs. You know, should is a world's different than a shall. So a recommendation, it's definitely not a mandate, and it's, you know, it's going to be up to the schools. I'm sure, you know, these aren't easy decisions, I'm sure. Last year was a hard year, Scott. It really was. I can't imagine for the schools. You know, have to do some stuff at home, then go back, and the busing situation, and lunch. You know, these are large decisions for the schools. I don't envy them and what they have to do at all. But when they ask us our opinion, we're going to give it. Whether they follow it or not, that's going to be on them. That's their responsibility to figure out what they want to do. And we can just give people the best advice. You know, it's kind of like, telling people to eat healthy. You know, we should all be on healthy, plant-based diets to have good blood pressure and all that. But, you know, not everybody does that. And I'd be a hypocrite if I said I didn't. So, you know, it's people making the best choice for themselves. And, you know, if something happens, they're the ones that are going to have to live with it. They're the ones that are going to have to, all right, do we do it a course correction? Do we stay the course? You know, these are very large decisions for a community. And, you know, I get it. You hear a lot of things, a lot of studies that have been done about education in the last year. You know, what have kids gotten out of it? My daughter, her daycare shut down a year from March, and she was at home, and now she has an extended speech delay. That's from not being around kids, not having a teacher. You know, my wife and I can read as much as we can to her, but she has a speech delay. So I saw it myself, my daughter not being around kids, not getting the social aspect, not getting the education aspect. That's hurt my family. So these are large questions, and, you know, you got to do what you can. And, like, that's why I said, these Board of Educations, I don't envy their position. These are hard decisions they got to make.
Tyler, a big question that has come up is, do local health agencies, in conjunction with local governments, have the power to mandate things locally? At one point, the governor did say he was leaving decisions up to local communities. And in Columbus and Cleveland at this point, who I believe both have higher vaccination rates than 40% right now, which is what it sits at in Marion, the schools are going to wear masks all the time. So could the local health department, do you guys have a jurisdiction for Marion County to enforce a mask mandate? Or could you go to city council, the county commissioners, and try to get them to do something?
That is an excellent question for a lawyer. Whether it be Grogan or Mark Russell, they would be the legal aspects with this. I know there's different things, whether considered a home-ruled county or city or whatnot, so they would be the ones to ask that. But just going back to the schools and the mask mandate here, you know, we're talking about the schools, but Scott, is this also a parent issue as well?
Well, here's a problem. I know that if you go into the grocery store or you go into the department store, the rule still is if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. Now, the figures tell us that only 40% of Marion is vaccinated. I don't think 60% of the people in those stores are wearing masks.
Well, it goes to, you know, that there's no more mandate. So, I want to think of the right word to say. The consequences of people even allowing people that are unvaccinated are different now. You know, we had a process prior to this where we would go, there'd be violations, three violations, you're seeing the county prosecutor. But, you know, things are different now. The politicians in Columbus took this away. So, you know, not much we could do with these people that aren't wearing it. But that's a great point. So what can you do as a person or someone that's uncomfortable with it? same point I'm trying to make about the schools with the parents. If I'm a parent, I want my kid getting that in-school education where I want them to be safe. So I'm going to send my child to school with a mask. And I'm sure Dr. Iarussi is going to have no issue if students show up with masks on.
Well, and overall, though, what do you think is the anger against the mask? Well, what do people tell you?
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm trying to think. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Most people have been very respectful. I still go to meetings, and I wear a mask. People will say, well, why are you wearing that? We know you're vaccinated. Well, first of all, how do you know I'm vaccinated? Did you see me get that vaccine? Obviously, I am. I have no qualms about it, telling anybody. But, you know, so there's that. And then, you know, I'm wearing, like I said before, and I'll beat this drum till the cows come home. I have a daughter. This, even though I'm vaccinated, I can still get the virus. I can give it to her. She could die because she's not vaccinated. I try to protect my family. That's why I wear the mask. I wear the mask for other people. Why people don't wear it, I don't know. It's a flimsy piece of cloth over my face that collects people's spit when they talk to me. That's why I wear it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It hasn't changed my life. I don't know. I've gone on inspections outside this summer at the fair. I was sweating bullets under it, but I wore it. So, I don't know. I can't say I've had a big, large debate with anybody over the mask.
You know, Tyler, I don't think anybody expected the numbers in Marion County. When we all heard this 70% thing, I don't really think anybody thought that Ohio or Marion was going to get to 70% by July the 4th. But I don't think anybody thought it was going to be 40%. It's free. It's available in stores. It's available through the health department. As you said, you'll come and do it at people's houses if they call or in homebound.
Yeah.
So, when we come back to this, why 40%?
Oh, and I'm going to disagree with you, Scott. I thought we'd hit 70 by July 1st. What's stopping us? You can go to any corner store and get it. You know, you can go to, I think Meijer was giving out like $10 off a purchase. That's a free $10 to get a shot. You know, and I'm thinking, and I don't want to speak for people, you know, but I'm going to say the vast majority of us got the polio shot. I don't want polio. I don't want to give polio to anybody. So what's the difference?
Well, and this is another interesting thing that yesterday I was talking with Dr. Iarussi, and the school, according to him, still requires certain vaccinations to start school. But this has become a very different thing. Now, we can say it's not different, but in people's minds, it obviously is.
Well, and that's why I got, you know, you're a man of the people. I got to ask you, is it because it's been politicized? Is that why? I'm flummoxed. I don't know. I get the flu shot every year. Colds and flus love me. I've got terrible seasonal allergies. My immune system just sucks, to be honest. So I'll do anything to help me. But that's just what I do. I don't know. What do you hear? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't know if it is politics or not because, as you said, we don't really know who's vaccinated and who's not. So I don't know the 60% in the store that isn't vaccinated.
I don't know. I've asked people the last several years that Jenny McCarthy started all this on her television show and whatnot. But, like, I don't know. I didn't know any anti-vaxxers back then, to be honest with you, Scott. Now, I look at Facebook, half my friends won't get this vaccine. So, I don't know. I don't get it's hard to talk for anybody. Know what's going in someone's head, but I'm just looking at all the facts and figures. I don't know.
Has anybody died?
You know, that's the golden bullets, Scott. You figure that out. We get over 70 and we're golden. I don't know.
Has anybody died from the vaccine?
I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, there's numbers out there that say this, but it's like, let's say my 89-year-old grandma gets the vaccine today. She's 89. She dies in a week. Is that because of the vaccine? Is that because of old age? Is that because she had an underlying condition? I don't know.
Well,
so, I don't know what to say with the numbers. Is it because of the vaccine? Is it because of an underlying condition?
Let me ask you this, because I was at a little birthday party this past weekend, and this conversation inevitably comes up, and somebody said to me, who I don't consider an uneducated person, they said, you know, the hospital and health departments just put down COVID as a cause of death, and they don't even test for the flu anymore. Now, I don't know where that comes from, but what's the truth in that?
Well, and joke's on them. I don't deal with cause of death. We don't do that here at the health department. No, you can't get a death certificate, but we're not the ones filling that out. We can just provide you a copy. We get that from the funeral homes. So that part is absolutely false, I can tell you for certain.
Now, as far as, is there any cadence or any truth to whoever, the coroner, putting down COVID when it's something else?
I have absolutely no clue. I get the coroner on, ask them. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of that.
Let's hope not.
I can't imagine. Like I said, I hate speaking for people. I can just tell people my experience, what my division does, what my health department does. You know, it's hard for me to come from, you know, everyone's got different experiences in life. Everyone's got different values. Everybody grew up with families that are different. I don't know. If you're married, my wife came from a different set of values, from a different family, did things differently. You know, my family didn't set things like differently than hers, and that's what kind of made us into two people, and we're two totally different people.
Well, you know, Tyler, maybe the important part here is when we see the headline that in Marion County, COVID cases have tripled in the last 2 weeks. We now know that's 55 cases. We had 8 cases a day in recent times. All that being said, if this continues, because I don't know that anything's changing, you're saying that at 40%, not a lot of people are showing up for vaccinations, doesn't seem like any more mandates are going in place, and here comes the school year, and we have talked to the superintendent of the biggest school district in Marion County, Marion City Schools, about what they're going to do. People are going to start going back inside. It is fall. Again, we don't have a crystal ball here, but what could happen here?
Yeah, I'm afraid to even answer that, Scott. I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't want to go through all this again that we just did. I will tell you, so I'm on the state's website. Great website. A little harder to find than I would like. It's the coronavirus.ohio.gov. But we're at 40.33% vaccinated in Marion County, which, awesome, we're over 40%. And if you look at this website, Scott, you can kind of see by age, 80-plus, 73% of people vaccinated, 75 to 79, 81, 70 to 74, 82, 65 to 69, 77, 60 to 64, 71. Then you get the drop-off, 50 to 59, or 53%, about half, 40 to 49, 41%, 30 to 39, 30%, 20 to 29, 22%. It's like, as you get younger, these people aren't getting it. And as you said, it's everywhere. We are offering the vaccine every day at the health department. You come in, we got a nurse, we'll give you the shot. No problem. No harm, no foul. No waiting in lines. I don't know if you got your early on, Scott. We had lines at our clinics. There's no lines anymore. Just come get the shot.
And do you think the young people just think it's not going to be us?
You know, I was young once, and I was dumb. You know, when I was young, you think nothing hurts you. You're 20, 22, the world's in your hand. But I never had to worry about a pandemic when I was in my 20s. You know, when I was in my 20s, you know, when you're younger, you think about you. You know, you could be selfish, but as you get older, you get a significant other, you have children, there's a lot more people to think about now than yourself. Like, oh, you know, believe me, if I was 20, I'd say, hey, I'm finding a $90 flight to Vegas, I'm getting a $40 hotel room, you know, we're going to have some fun this weekend. Now, no, I'm not getting on a plane, I'm not going where a lot of people are, as I'm older, I know more now. But I don't know, you always hear these young people think that they got the world at their fingertips. But I think at this point, you know, even if you get it, you know, these variants are only going to get worse. It's like, let's stop it in its tracks. Let's at least save somebody else who's older than you. That's what we need to get out there.
Aside from obviously getting the vaccine, does the Marion Health Department at this point have any recommendations for people who go into grocery stores, people who are around people? Are there any recommendations at this point?
We recommend whatever the CDC says, Scott. So if the CDC says, you know, wear a mask around people, we do it. You know, and it's also personal preference. You know, the CDC says, oh, if it's a, you know, very low vaccinated county or area, wear a mask. No, 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 scratch that. I'm going to wear a mask when I am comfortable to wear one. I don't care if, you know, we're at 70%. There's still 30% that don't have it. I'm still going to wear my mask. You know? Sorry, CDC. I don't know. I'm never going to stop somebody from doing more. When I had a test in college, give me, you know, one example of what Emerson's Pond was meant, you know, what was a vision in it. I'm going to give you four or five, not just one. I'm going to do more than the minimum. But that's just me. You know, that's people out there. You got to say, okay, what do I want to do to keep myself safe or my family safe? Do I want to throw a mask on when I go to a store for the slight possibility I get it, and for the next possibility I might give it to somebody else? You know, is that worth it to you? It's worth it to me. I think people really need to take some self-accountability here.
Tyler, with about 4 minutes left, I do want to ask you about this. We see all these signs in Marion County, and a lot of them are at restaurants, and a lot of them are at bars, and a lot of them are at fast food places. They need help. They're running short of help. Is this impacting the health inspections?
Look at our reports. You know, it's hard for somebody to maintain peak food safety, peak food quality, when you normally have a staff of eight and you can only have three people working because you can't get anybody. You know, these are professionals. You know, anybody that works in the kitchen, I call them a chef because they deserve that respect. If you're making some food I'm going to eat or I'm going to serve to my family, I want that to be as safe as can be. So I respect people in those positions. But a lot of places we go in and we're seeing those signs too. We're seeing people that normally have a larger staff or people have to, you know, some usually managers, we ask a manager to come around with us during an inspection. You know, I want you to see what I see so it's not just words on a paper. And if you can correct it in front of me, all the better. And if we can teach your employee in front of me, even better. We can show them, okay, this is not an appropriate way to do it. This is how we can do it next time. And I want that manager, I want them repetition, putting that in their employees' heads so this is no longer a violation and it won't be in the future.
What's the biggest mistake
these
made?
These managers have to multitask now, Scott. Yeah, it's hard for them to walk around with me. Oh, I got to expedite food. Or, hey, I got to do dishes now. I don't have a dish person anymore.
What's the biggest mistake restaurants make?
I love that you are asking me that right now, Scott. That is a good question. Everyone should ask me that.
So, well, I'm glad I did then.
Yes, we have, you know, as a health agency, we've asked ourselves that. So what we are doing, so we go do our inspections, and we're not in our head, you know, we have a code book of over 100 pages. We have a checklist of all the criticals in our head when we go to each place. So we're not saying, all right, I'm looking at bare hand contact, and that's all I'm looking at this time. No, we're looking at all the criticals. But we received a grant from Association of Food and Health Drug Officials, and from the National Association of City and County Health Departments. We received a grant this year where I have a guy starting next week. It's an intern going in, focusing. He's just doing an assessment of all the critical violations in all of our restaurants. He's going to go in. This is completely voluntary. If a food place says, you know, we're too busy, come back, we can do that. This isn't an inspection. We're doing assessments. So we can tell the community, once we're done with this, these are the top three violations we're seeing, this official assessment. And this assessment has been sussed out by government organizations, not just local governments, but higher than us. So we can know what's the biggest issue in our community, and then what we're going to do as a local health department, we're going to strategize. Let's say date marking, not putting dates on things in a walk-in cooler. You know, whenever you open up a product, you have 7 days to use it. Well, you have to mark that 7 days. Let's say people aren't doing that. Okay, what do we can do as a local health department to stop that violation in our community? So we're doing that right now. We're assessing our facilities right now. So if you see somebody out there, that's what he's doing.
Tyler, with 20 seconds left, in your opinion, what do you think you've seen the most so far? We'll see if you're right once this assessment goes on. What do you think the biggest...
You know, date marking's a real big one.
Date marking.
You know, we don't want people using old moldy food or reusing it or cooking it. So date marking's a big one we see. Hand washing. Hand washing is probably the biggest, Scott. Everybody needs to wash their hands. Wash them appropriately.
There you go. Tyler Pigman from the Marion County Health Department. Thank you, Tyler. It's always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. There you go. Glenn Coble's coming up next, and then Swap Shop from 12 to 1. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Male Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth is, in many ways, just the kinds of things that he's saying during the campaign is a danger to the United States. The United States, for our national interest and the safety of our citizens, does have to be involved.